So before I begin, I want to make sure that you're aware that the information that I'm presenting here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's certainly not intended as medical advice. It's intended as a sharing of my knowledge, information, and clinical experience and research over many years, decades in fact, and working with lots of people. But everybody is unique. So I encourage you to listen, take it all in, and then if you're under the care of any kind of medical professional, on any medication at all, being treated for any kind of condition, then I recommend that you have a discussion with your practitioner about the protocols that you are feeling called to do.
I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm very excited to have you here today for a class called Eating for Bone Health. And I'm really excited about doing this class because osteoporosis, osteopenia are almost epidemic in our society. And just about half the people over the age of 50 have been diagnosed with osteoporosis. And there's a lot more that haven't. And the good news is that there's stuff that you can be doing every day in the way that you eat and the way you take care of yourself to reverse this. Is that good news? Excellent news, right? And it works better than the drugs. And so my goal today is to talk to you about, so you have an understanding of how your bones are working, what bone metabolism really is, so that you can make a much more informed decision and you'll understand how the drugs work when they want to prescribe drugs for you, and how the foods and the supplements and the herbs work to correct that. So before we get started, I want to introduce our team. And we've been doing these classes together as a team for almost a year now, and it's very exciting, and we have a whole host of classes, and all of the classes are cataloged and available on the web as recordings, so if you have to miss one month, you can always do it that way. And I have this amazing team that's going to be working with me today. So the way that we're going to do the class today is I'll be teaching you the principles of what foods to eat, what foods to avoid, and how to incorporate certain nutrients and herbs and supplements into your life. And then we're going to be interspersing, and then maybe a lot more at the end, showing you, demonstrating how to make some of these recipes. And also talking to you about how to take some of your own recipes and fortifying them and modifying them to make them more bone supportive. So there's certain things you can take out of your recipes and certain things that you can put back into your recipes to take your own recipes and make them. So we've made you a set of recipes. I think there's five that we're going to make today, six, seven, whatever. Six that we're going to make. There's a couple of extra bonus ones in there. But we're going to talk to you about how you can actually use some of the foods and herbs that we're discussing to fortify your own. So that's exciting. So this is Karen Osborne. She has been working with me for, like I said, well, probably 2 years now. And she got started about 10 years ago in living foods and using more whole foods, living foods, to completely reverse immune system problems that she was having and some other health issues. And she got so excited about it, and she's so creative in the kitchen, that she just started experimenting and making wonderful recipes. And then about a year and a half ago, she went out to a place called the Living Light Culinary Institute, which is in California, and she took a three-week, six-week, whatever, some long period of time, many weeks of training to learn how to really make living foods amazing. And so now she teaches these classes, and she does private catering for people, brings food to their house, helps people set up their kitchens, and it's just really instrumental in helping people make a transition from, you know, the sad standard American diet into gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free, whatever it is that you're trying to do in raw and living foods. So thank you, Karen. Her recipes are amazing. She takes my recipes and she just like tweaks them just a little bit to make them amazing. And our other instructor is Pamela Weems. I was going to say Pamela Osborne. You're part of Karen's family. Pamela Weems. And Pamela started working with me about 5 years ago. She started, like you, taking classes. And then she volunteered to help at the classes behind the scenes. And she ended up taking all the classes that I ever did. and a couple of teacher certification trainings that I did a few years back. So Pamela is trained as a through the Alyssa Cohen Living on Live Foods program, and she started teaching with us a year ago, and she offers so much, brings so much to the table, and she really likes to really dig in and research the foods and how they affect you. So you'll be hearing from her a lot more. And I just appreciate having this great team to help me through. So before we get started on our content, I want to find out from you guys here. I see there's a wide range of ages here. How many people in this room have been told that they have osteoporosis? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have been told that you have osteopenia, which is bone loss but not quite osteoporosis? Anyone? Okay. All right. So we've got some. And how many people want to not ever hear those words uttered through anyone's lips? Good. All right. So the good news is that it can be reversed, and that's not what medicine is telling you. And the good news is, even better news is, it can be prevented. And the younger you are, the more impact you can have on the strength of your bones later. So for someone, you know, young can start to really improve the health of their bones, because your bones go through this remodeling and surging and strengthening like when you're in your 30s. So it's a really good time, if you are still in your 30s, to be taking care of that. Okay? So I am going to tell you a little bit about what I have for you. I spent a lot of time really putting together this booklet for you, because I know that when you come to a class and you're feverishly taking down notes, you don't always remember. And in this case, you will have the videos to go back to, but that can be a little time-consuming if you have to watch all the videos just to remember which of those foods that she said were good for osteoporosis, which are the ones I should avoid. So I've put it all together for you in this booklet. And it's about 16 pages long, so there's a lot in here. And we're going to be going through. I'm not going to be reading this. That would be boring. Who would want me to read this? Nobody, right? You want me to read it? It would be boring if I read it, but it's there for background. So I will be speaking about the concepts. You'll have the background information. There's lots of charts in there, which as we get to them, I'll show you. Charts of the specific nutrients that your body needs to repair and remodel bone. And then where do you find those? What foods do you find those in? There's lists of herbs that you can use and that you can add to your foods that actually help to strengthen and remodel and reform bones. So I'm really excited about sharing this with you. So where I wanted to start with is, and I would take notes if I were you. I would just take notes because, you know, you can fill it in right on there. And make sure your name is on there, because if you take these great notes and then you leave it here, we have no idea who those great notes belong to. So bone, we all think about bone as being this hard, like rock, right? It's the skeleton, it's the foundation, and think of it as rock. So when you get a diagnosis of osteoporosis or osteopenia, meaning you've got some bone loss, you start to think, oh, well, it's gone. How can I possibly get it back? It's gone away. The truth of the matter is your bone is constantly breaking down and rebuilding, breaking down and rebuilding. It's called remodeling, bone remodeling. And over the course of 10 years, your skeleton is completely new. So the skeleton you had 10 years ago is completely different than the skeleton you have now because of this remodeling process. And there's these little cells inside the bone called osteoclasts and osteoblasts. Now, if you never remember what those names are or get them straight, because it took me a really long time to figure out a little like trick to which one's the clast and which ones break the bone and which ones form the bone, the osteoclasts break down the bone, and then osteoblast builds new bone. So in a healthy body, that's happening in balance. Break it down, build it up, break it down, build it up. That prevents you from having the same skeleton at age 18 as you have when you're 72. So you have a fresh new skeleton. It's alive tissue. Now, in order to be able to do that, you need to have good nutrition. You have to be able to have all of the nutrients that that bone needs. The way that the drugs work, most of them, the ones like Fosamax, the most common ones, what they do is they tell the body, turn off the osteoclasts, turn off the bone breakers, the ones that break down the bone. Well, you turn off the ones that break down the bone, you keep your old bone. You keep your old bone and it gets brittle over time. And you get thickening because you continue to add bone and remodel, but you get sometimes excessive thickening. That's what they find, that it's these big old hunky bones, but they're brittle. Maybe at the beginning they're not, because they're still relatively new. But 10 years later, and you're still working on that old bone, it gets brittle. And actually what they find is that the fracture rate with taking the medications is actually no better than the fracture rate without taking the medications. So you're lulled into this false sense of security, thinking, my bones are strong because I'm taking Fosamax. You know, as long as I don't lay down after I take it, and as long as I'm, careful, I won't get nauseous and I won't, get an ulcer from it. But there are lots of side effects. And we're not going to go into all of that. I've given you a little bit in here, but there's several resources that I put in the back, actually quite a few resources for those of you who really want to understand it. And one of the ones I found was really good at this link here is drritamarie.com/go-save-our-bones. And at that site, I downloaded a free report, and it went into really good detail about how those drugs work. So if you've been diagnosed and your doctor is hounding you to go on these medications, study them. Study them. And so you can be able to ask questions and say, I don't know about that. So any questions on any of that before I move on?
Okay. What page is that?
Oh, the resources are way in the back.
In the back. Okay.
Page EF 16 or something like that. 15. Yeah. Okay. So what can you do to get healthy bone? There's a researcher, and there's another site called betterbones.com. And I've had this woman, Susan Brown, I've had her book for many years. I've had it for like over 20 years. She's a medical anthropologist. And she put together a really good site. And the thing that she says in all of her years of research and all the supplementation and foods and all, the thing that she finds works the quickest and the most effectively is creating the acid-alkaline balance. Does anybody not know what I mean by that? You all heard of acid-alkaline balance. I won't have to go.
Really sorry.
Yes.
The acid-alkaline?
Alkaline balance. Okay, just in a nutshell, I'll give you the brief and you can read more about it here. And also I gave you a link where you can read a lot more about it. So we're going to go over an overview, and if you want more details, there's a couple of links in there. One is the acid alkaline effect on bone health, and it was written by this medical anthropologist and an MD. And he put together a really nice, very detailed article. And then another is an alkaline diet information packet that I put together for you guys, but I didn't want to make this huge and have to print out lots of pages. So I put it on the web and you can go and download it if you want it. Okay? So basically your body, your pH is a measure of acid or alkaline. And the scale of pH goes from 0 to 14. 0 is very acidic, 14 is very alkaline. Water is right dead center in the middle at 7.0. Your blood needs to maintain a pH of 7.35 to 7.45, very small range, tiny range. If it goes out of that range, you could be in a coma and die very quickly. So you've got these protective mechanisms in your system that preserve that at all costs. Life presents you either acid or alkaline challenges. The foods that you eat, some of the foods leave an acid residue in your body and push your body more towards that 0 to 7 range. Some of the foods you eat create a more alkaline residue in your body and they push you more towards the 7.0 and above range. Certain thoughts that you think, stressful thoughts create a cascade of different hormones and enzymes in your system that cause you to become more acidic. Meditating, laying on the beach, floating in the water, hugging a baby, those sorts of things, or petting your dogs, those sorts of things create a more alkaline balance in your body. So we're constantly dealing with these things that make us move more towards alkaline or more towards acid. drink. And medications, most medications will push you more towards the acid side. So what we want to do, if we want to preserve our bones, is to create a balance in our body that leaves us just slightly alkaline, and that's 7.35 to 7.45. So what happens if your body, your blood's at the 7.35 to 7.45, and you suddenly eat a whole bunch of foods that are on the alkaline, the acid side, right? And the acid side of the chart, there's things like sugar, processed foods, meats, some nuts, some vegetables, some fruits. There's a whole lot of foods that are on there. And we're not saying that those foods that are acid-forming are inherently bad. We need a lot of those foods. It's a matter of balance. But if you get too much of those acid-forming foods, there's a surge of acidic byproduct in your blood, and your blood's like, whoa, we got to fix this. This isn't safe. So it looks for buffering agents to make it more alkaline. And the best buffering agents are in your bone. Alkaline minerals, calcium, zinc, magnesium. All of those will help shift you more towards the alkaline side of the blood. So what we want to do then is prevent you from getting into those moment-to-moment acidic states. It's going to happen, right? But you want to do it as little as possible, and you want to be giving your body as many of those buffering agents as possible, so foods that have as much of that buffering agent as possible. So the recipes that we've put together for today are very alkalizing. If we had a little computer program and we could plug these numbers in, we would come up with very nice alkalizing numbers for these foods. Not to say that we haven't used some of the foods that are in the acid side of the chart. If you turn to page 14, I've reproduced here just a small version of the chart. And if you go to the web page that I have in that on that page, you'll see the full-length version of it. You have it in digital form. That way you can go home and print it off and put it up on your refrigerator. Fold one up and put it in your purse. And after a while, you'll get used to it. But before that, you may want to check, oh, I'm having this food and it's on the acid side. I better buffer it. Maybe I should eat some broccoli with that. Or maybe I should have some almonds with that so that you can move yourself more towards that side. So you'll see, and if you go online, you'll see many versions of these. They're close to being the same. It's just different researchers have done different techniques, and you might find a food on the acid side on one chart and on the alkaline side on the other, but for the most part, they're going to agree. And the things that are alkalizing are green leafy vegetables, especially the ones from the sea, like kelp and dulse. Kelp? Anybody ever have this kind of kelp? Very alkalizing. This is really good bone food. If anybody wants to try it, I'll just pass a piece of bread and you can just break a piece off. You can eat it like chips, or you can sprinkle it and put it in your foods. It's very delicious, and it's a very good thing to have. I've had people who have created trail mixes. They no longer eat popcorn when they go to the movies. They'll put some almonds and sunflower seeds with some of this crinkled up in it. There's a lot of other sea-type vegetables. Dulse, really good one, right? This one as well, I can pass a piece around and you can chomp on it if you'd like. And you may not have a taste for these things. I may pass this around and you're saying, well, you don't really want me to eat that, do you? And if that's the case, we've got recipes. This is called dulse, D-U-L-S-E. And there's all sorts of, there's nori, which I don't know if we have any nori sheets here today. But sea vegetables are really good alkalizing, but they're also a repository of minerals. They have lots and lots of minerals in them to supply the bones. And in a bit, we'll talk about what some of those specific minerals that are most important for your bones are and which foods to get them from. So, anybody like that? Dislike that? Who likes it?
Really?
Who could take it? Take it or leave it. Who dislikes it?
This one fell on the ground, so we didn't.
Oh, the kelp. Oh, here. This is nori. Nori comes in these sheets, And one of my favorite ways to do nori is I roll a salad in it. I put a bunch of salad and I put some dip and stuff and I roll it up and eat it like a burrito. So you can put beans, you can put rice, you can put anything you want into it, but you can eat it like a burrito. And there's all sorts of recipes in some of our other classes. I think our Thai food class, we had a really nice roll up. All right. So other foods that are on the alkaline side of the chart that are going to really help you are some of the seeds like pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, sunflower seeds, chia seeds, hemp seeds. They're all going to give you more of an alkaline ash to them. Broccoli, cauliflower, all your green leafy type, your cruciferous, your green leafies plus your cruciferous vegetables. So broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, really good ones. Okay, and I'm not going to read through all of them, but you can read through and see. One distinction, if you're eating table salt, it's very acid forming. If you're eating sea salt, on unrefined sea salt, it's very alkaline forming because it has all those minerals in there that your body can use as buffering agents. And one other last thing before we go on with the alkaline. Just because a food tastes acidic doesn't mean it's acid forming. So for an example, tomatoes, lemons, limes, and oranges are all very acidic going in, but when your body breaks it down, it leaves more of an alkaline residue. So you can't tell by that. And some vinegars, apple cider vinegar, very alkalizing. Balsamic vinegar, red wine vinegar, acid forming. Okay, so being careful about what, even just something as simple as what vinegar you choose to put on your salad can make a difference for your bones. Any questions about any of that? Okay. Yes?
Sesame.
We're going to talk about that in a bit. You'll see sesame seed in a lot of our recipes. Yep, sesame seed is a great source. And I have a whole list in here that we're going to talk about those foods.
How does that happen? It tastes acidic.
That's a great question. I've asked that question before. When the body digests the food, whether it becomes more alkalizing or acidifying has a lot to do with how much mineral content is in there. So foods that would have some mineral content or some nutrient content will be more that way. Now the vinegars, I haven't really figured that one out yet, except that the apple cider is usually raw and fermented versus the others are usually pasteurized, and the heating process may degrade some of the nutrients that help to bring the balance. But yeah, that's a good question. So we talked about that, we talked about your resources. Let's talk really quickly about getting your bones tested, because the typical way that you would get your bones tested, you go to the doctor, they do a little x-ray, sometimes it's on the hip, sometimes it's on the wrist, and they give you a score, and it's called the DEXA test. And that measures right now what's the status of your bones right now. And it compares the number that you get on there. There's two numbers, a T score and a Z score. The T score compares you to a healthy 30-year-old. How's your bone density compared to somebody who we know has good bone density and they're 30? And the Z score compares you to other people your age. So what you want to do with the Z score, unless you're 30, is throw it out the window. You don't really care. Because if you're exactly the same as everybody else your age, it means, and you're over 50, it means you have a 50-50 chance of getting osteoporosis. Throw that one out. You want to compare yourself to that healthy 30-year-old. So the number can be zero or positive, which is really good. Zero is actually a good score on an osteoporosis test. And one is even better. It means your bones are really, really strong. Once you get into the negative numbers, it means you're starting to lose some bone. So between up until about 2, like 1.5, 2, that's where they'll say you're in the osteopenia form. And over like 1.7 to 2, they're going to say, or negative, that is more osteoporosis. Okay? And so you can compare where you're going, by what's your numbers. And Karen's mom is actually a good example, and I've worked with a lot of people, but Karen and I were just talking about her earlier. Her mom had been diagnosed with osteoporosis. She had been on the medications, on Fosamax. And her bone density was getting worse. It's getting worse. So she, Karen talked to me, we came up with a plan, and that was without me actually really knowing her history. I just said, okay, based on what you're telling me, here's some herbs, and it's all the stuff you're going to learn today. So her mom starts on this program. She started incorporating some herbs into her smoothies. She started drinking green smoothies. We'll talk about that in a bit. Eating more of the vegetables, watching her acid-alkaline balance, and her bone density is improved. And the doctor's going, well, you should take the medication anyway, because it's not as good as it could be. Well, it was getting worse on the medication, and now it's getting better. I think I'd rather have some more time on this diet. What was it, 6 months or a year? It wasn't that long.
She ate really healthy for a year. Probably like she ate really healthy for about 8 months, and then 4 months went by before she had her pet.
Okay, and then she went off of it.
Well,
okay. So stick with it, and she would have even had better results. The doctor might not be telling her that, but 8 months it turned around. I had another person who was really not into changing her diet too much. That's what she said. I don't want to change my diet too much. I see, you know, you're kind of extremist. So what can I do? I'm like, okay. I still want to drink my coffee. I still want to drink my wine. I still want to eat my ice cream. But what can you do to help me? Okay. She's not willing to take out the foods that are destroying her bone. But what can we do to try to fix this? So I had her go on a green smoothie. We're going to make a great green smoothie. I had her add these particular herbs, which we're going to talk about in a bit. And eat more vegetables. Just eat more vegetables. She did those things. Her cravings for sugar went down because she was remineralizing her body. And 6 months later, she had an improvement. And a year later, and she got a little sloppy on it, but she's still showing improvement. Right? So it doesn't have to be 100%. But the closer you are to 100%, the closer you are to getting rid of all the foods that weaken your bones and adding back in all these foods, the stronger they're going to be. And there's no such thing as too strong a bone. We don't want to have us fall down the stairs or fall down the stairs because we have a hip fracture, which is usually how it happens. People usually don't break their bone because they fell. They usually fall because they have a spontaneous fracture, and that causes them to break their bone. Isn't that interesting? That causes them to fall. So you want to know. Now, the other test that you can do that most doctors don't do, they do know about, it's called the NTX urine test. And I've given you a link in here where you can actually order a test kit online, have them send it to your house. You basically pee in a cup, send it back, and they will tell you not what your bone is doing right now at this point in time, not what your bone statically is at this point in time. It will tell you metabolically what your bone is doing. So it measures those breakdown and building chemicals in the blood, in the urine, actually. You can do it in the blood, too, but it's easier to do it in the urine. And it tells you how you are balanced between those. Remember the osteoclast and the osteoblast? It tells you how balanced you are there. So if you get that test done, even if you've gotten that, I'm not osteoporotic, but you go get that test done, you make all these changes. You may not see the change in your bone density for 6 months or longer, but you will see a change in this, and you'll know if your program's on the right track. So usually I tell people, get this test done in between the bone densities to see if your program's on the right track, and then you can make little tweaks along the way.
Question? I have a question.
Yes.
We talk about osteoporosis in women. What about men?
That's a great question. Men get osteoporosis too, and younger women get it as well. So it's whereas 50% of the women over the age of 50 will get it, maybe 20% of the men. But men get it as well. The reason that women are more prone, it has to do with the hormones, and the estrogens tend to protect you early on. And then when you go through menopause, that shift, not so much the normal shift, but the shift in the metabolites of estrogen. So certain metabolites of estrogen promote good bone. Certain metabolites of estrogen promote bone breakdown. So it's when we go through menopause that we're more likely to have it, and because of the imbalance. It's on page 6. And it has, you can find out more about it, and you can also order it. And then there's another one that's not used as much, but it's similar to the NTX, and it's called the DPD, and your doctor may know about that. That only can be ordered by a doctor. This NTX, you can just say, look, my doctor's not up to speed on this stuff. I'm just going to order it myself. Okay. Now, there's other blood tests, and I'm not going to go through every single one of them. We could talk for 3 days about all these other blood tests, but your standard blood test can give you an indicator of your bone health. And so I made a list of those, and those are some tests you may want to look into the next time you have a blood test done. If you've got health insurance, it's best to try to get it done through your practitioner so it's covered. If you don't have health insurance, then there's an online company called directlabs.com. And directlabs.com, you can order any test you want without a doctor's prescription. It's really cool. Really cool. And even if you've gone to your doctor and they refuse to order it, and they're really inexpensive on directlabs.com, you can get a complete metabolic panel for like $97, whereas it would normally cost like $450. So if there's any test that you're saying, well, I really want to get this test done, my doctor won't run it for me, you go to Direct Labs and you order it there. Okay, so I'm not going to go through all this. Vitamin D, I will talk about vitamin Z, because vitamin D is critical to bone health. And we have an epidemic of vitamin D deficiency, and there's a lot of reasons for that. We spend a lot of time indoors. We put sunscreen on when we're outside. Everybody's made us fearful about the sun because it can cause skin cancer. And quite frankly, it can cause basal cell carcinoma. It usually is not what causes the more serious melanomas. And if you have a deficiency of vitamin D, which you gets caused by preventing yourself from getting exposed to the sun, you have a higher risk of prostate, a couple of people in this room, colon and breast cancer. And quite frankly, if I had my choice, if I was like at gunpoint, you have to pick one of these cancers, which one are you going to get? Which one do you think I would take? Basal cell carcinoma, because it's like chop it out, as long as it's not too far, you have a scar, and that's about it. But colon cancer, breast cancer, and prostate can be really serious, and they are definitely a life-threatening. Now, I don't want you to have any cancer, and we're going to talk about ways to protect you, but if you want more information about the vitamin D, go out to my website or my blog or even YouTube and just type in my name and vitamin D, and there's a couple of videos that I've done out there that Sarah here recorded for me. Okay, so important thing too, because a lot of people are on thyroid medication. Anybody here on thyroid medication? Oh, good. It's usually a handful in every room. Thyroid, yeah. There's usually at least one anyway in every room. The thyroid, it's important to make sure that if there are things you can do to get off of it, great. But if not, because there's times when you can't, you want to make sure that they're maintaining your levels appropriately, because too much thyroid hormone destroys your bones. And the other thing, one of the tests on here is for cortisol. And cortisol is a hormone put out by your adrenals when you're under stress. And too much cortisol destroys your bones, which is why floating in the water, hugging a baby, those things are going to protect your bones, and getting all stressed out is going to destroy your bones. Okay? Okay.
What if your baby is not hugging water?
That might be stressful, so maybe that's not a good, yeah. Yeah, there's always exceptions. There's always exceptions, yeah.
Hugging someone else's baby.
Oh, yeah, somebody else's baby whose diaper you don't have to change and goes home at the end of the day. That might be more pleasant. As long as it's not your daughter's baby, then you might be, you know, upset about it. So anyway, so there's a list on page 8 of the foods that can weaken your bones. Yes?
Yeah, you've got number 6 is a free cortisol test.
Yeah.
You're getting free cortisol.
Well, usually you do it, it's a saliva test. And there's an online, you can go to diagnostics.com or even that directlabs.com and look up an adrenal saliva test. You can get that done. They can do a free cortisol test, not free like no cost.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, now I get what you're asking. No, it's cortisol. Your hormones are either protein bound in your blood or they're free. And the free is what's available to your tissues to use. And the protein bound may or may not be, so that's not as good an indicator. So that's what I mean by free. Sorry, it's not free.
Like a free radical?
Like free radical? Well, free radicals are different. Free radicals are actually these electron unstable molecules that go around and just like create a chain reaction of destruction in your system. But like cortisol being free means that it's not bound to protein and it's available for your body to use. Same thing with estrogen, testosterone. Even thyroid, you can. If you've ever gotten a thyroid test, you can say T4 and free T4, because there's a difference. Yeah. Okay. Now another thing
that I want to mention that's super, super important is gluten. It tops my list of foods that can affect you, and it came from the celiac exercise. So you know a lot about the dangers of gluten and how it can affect the body. But the gluten, there's studies and studies and studies that connect osteoporosis and gluten intolerance. Part of it is because it affects your gut and you're not able to absorb all the nutrients, so you don't get all those bone-supporting nutrients in. Part of it is it causes a systemic inflammation, and that affects the osteoblast-osteoclast activity. But gluten, if you have been diagnosed with osteoporosis or osteopenia, throw the gluten away. Go to the Celiac Society website and learn about it. Go to my website, drrittimery.com/glutenfree. Download my information pack there. But gluten-free is very, very important. Very, very important.
It's also linked to autoimmune.
It's linked to autoimmune disease. The thing about gluten intolerance, people think of it as celiac disease. It means that you have the gut, your gut's been eaten up by the gluten antibodies, and you have diarrhea, and every time you eat it, so they most doctors, although today it's getting better, but a lot of doctors think that, well, you don't have gluten intolerance. Do you have diarrhea? You know, do you have bloating and gas after you eat bread? No, well, you don't have gluten intolerance. Well, as it turns out, the research is showing that the gut stuff is the last of the symptoms in most people, that it starts to affect your immunity. And you get autoimmune problems. It starts to affect your brain, and you may have be out of balance or be slightly depressed and not know why. And they want to put you on antidepressants when all you have to do is get off of gluten. And I can't tell you of countless people who were prescribed antidepressants and they decided they didn't want to do it. And I talked to them and they got off the gluten and voila, within a week. How good is that? They weren't depressed anymore. So there's so many things that gluten ties into, and definitely the strength of your bones. So if you're of that age, if you're in menopause, or you have been diagnosed already, definitely stay away from it. And if you're out of that range, but you have any other health issues, look into it as an underlying cause. It's huge. It's really huge. Okay, so the list of bone-weakening foods, I won't go through every single one of those in detail. I wrote them out for you, but when we say salt, we don't mean that you can't salt your food anymore. You'll see that we use some salt on our recipes, but you want to use whole, unrefined salt because that's more alkalizing, and that provides you minerals. When you use just the table salt, what happens is that for every, it's about 2,300 milligrams of salt that you take in, sodium, you lose 40 milligrams of calcium. Okay. Now, if you're doing the whole unprocessed salt, you still can get out of balance. You don't want to do too much of it, but you're getting the minerals in there to help your bones. So that's why that's really important. Soft drinks. Anybody here drink soft drinks? Okay, you can admit it. You won't. Okay. Soft drinks are one of the worst things for your bones. Okay? There's a number of reasons, and it doesn't matter if it's diet or regular. That's another long story. But when they're carbonated, that's phosphoric acid in there, and phosphorus and calcium need to be maintained in a very delicate balance to have good bone. And when you have too much phosphoric acid, you drain the calcium out of your bones. So if you like that carbonation, what I would recommend is like a natural mineral water, okay, or drinking water without the carbonation, but essential oils to flavor it. I'll put a little peppermint. I have a whole set of essential oils that I got from a company called Young Living. And a friend, you know, was doing their thing, and I just bought a bunch from her. But I have all these different flavors. So a friend of mine was visiting, and I usually was very boring. I just put lemon and peppermint and drink my water all day, and it tastes great. You know, it's really much better than a soft drink. And she started experimenting with my essential oil. She goes, oh, try this. It's got basil in it. Wow, basil essential oil. It tasted great. It's like drinking pesto. And then I had another one that was cinnamon, a little drop of cinnamon essential oil. And if you don't get the essential oils, if you go to Whole Foods or Sprouts or one of the stores that have the Frontier Herbs extracts, like vanilla extract, they also have things like an orange. The orange is amazing. It's not the pure essential oil. It's cut with like sunflower oil or something, but you only use a few drops of it. It's really tasty, and the almond one, and they have a cinnamon, and they have a cherry or berry. So play with those if you're really addicted to that something to drink. Fruit juice isn't good for osteoporosis either for your bones. So fruit juice or sodas,
replace it with some water with a few drops of these essential oils. And you really have, it's really enjoyable. There's no sugar in it, but you have this wonderful flavor. Sugar's another one. Really important. Sugar drains the nutrients out of your system. It drains away your B vitamins, drains away your minerals. So it's a good one to get off of. And then the different kinds of oils, hydrogenated oils, all the chip packages, they have been shown to destroy the osteoblasts, which are the ones that build your bone back. And we talked about gluten and any refined grains in general, because they've been stripped of all their nutrition and they've been processed. We're going to be leaching some of those nutrients out of your system. The other one, nightshades are kind of iffy. I haven't seen any conclusive evidence that in everyone they're a problem, and nightshades are those group of tomatoes and eggplant and red bell peppers and all. But in some people who are sensitive, and most people know when they're nightshade sensitive because their arthritis pains get worse if they eat tomatoes or eggplants or potatoes. So if you're one of those, then it's likely that the nightshades are not good for your bones either. And then the last two I'm going to merge together are dairy products and high protein foods. Not to say you have to be 100% vegetarian to have good bones. There's people who aren't. But there has to be the animal protein, the high protein foods need to be very small amounts, because the excess protein creates an acidic residue in your bloodstream and leaches out the minerals. And there have been lots of studies, and on that list in the back, the reference list, I put a few of those. And I also put a link to a page on the Better Bones site where she has about 3 or 4 pages long of references that talk about that. So keeping your proteins down to a lower amount, but you have to have enough protein because your bones need protein. So it's finding that delicate balance. When you eat a lot of green leafy vegetables and sea vegetables and some of the nuts and seeds, you're going to be getting lots of protein. And then the dairy products, in addition to them being a higher protein food and sucking away some of your calcium, they have phosphorus, a lot of phosphorus in out of proportion to your calcium. So that's going to cause you to lose some weight. So any questions about that before we tell you what you can eat? Yes?
Is that like kombucha?
Kombucha?
Instead of self-sustaining.
Kombucha, it's a fermented beverage that's made, that has a lot of probiotic in it. And that's okay instead of soft drinks. Yeah. Yeah. That would be, because it has all the probiotics, and probiotics are really important. Your probiotics meaning the gut flora.
Oh.
All right, so does anybody want to try something now? And then we'll go back to talking about the foods. You want to try a recipe? Want to switch gears?